Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting and important episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, the New Zealand that has its Parliament building designed by a Freemason. It's a beehive, and it was incidentally commissioned by our Prime Minister at the time, who was also a Freemason. And incidentally, the Parliament building is right next to the country's largest Freemasonic lodge. And people think that the Freemasons don't have any power in this country. They literally built it. Now, doing a little bit of an emergency broadcast here today. I've just gotten a message from James Wright, the preeminent Freemasonic whistleblower of the 33rd degree, and he's going through some real harsh stuff right now. I haven't had the chance to actually read the messages because it was just like, you know, guest cancelled and I've been rushing around, stuff like that. So, James Wright, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mimi.
Now, his website, ladies and gentlemen, that you can find his posts and at are at facebook.com/ Occupy Freemasonry. So, James, please go ahead and give us an update.
Well, you know, all that happened in California did, and then out of the midst of all that, I had a friend of a friend put me in contact with one of the pretty big media personalities in Colorado. His name is Scooter McGee, and he's got a show here in Colorado on 1310 KFKA, and so I've been doing a month's worth of shows now. And, you know, I've really enjoyed my time there at the station, and everything's been going really well with that. Got some good information out. It's, you know, it's really refreshing to meet someone in that position who you see for yourself is completely uncompromised. You know, there's no sort of control, because it's a CBS radio affiliate, so you would imagine that there would be some Masonic infiltration going on and so forth, but not here at this station. They've certainly been flooded with complaints and very intimidating and bullying directives from Freemasons here in Colorado, saying, you know, how dare you put him on? We want Scooter off the air now, and you know, just Masons once again trying to presume to dictate to somebody how to run a station, how to run the shows on the station, what to say, what not to say, etc. And they've basically given a giant middle finger to the Masons that are saying that to them. So that's, again, it's been really refreshing. But the problem is, for me personally, is, I mean, it's to a point now, this stuff is all carried away so far. And I mean, make no mistake, Vinny, I wouldn't do it differently if I had it to do over again. I believe in what I'm doing. I believe in getting this message out and everything. But what's going on right at this moment was, I was getting ready to fly here in about 2-3 days back up north to be with some cousins that I've lived with before, and, you know, we get along really well, and it's a real amicable situation. And I was going to go up and stay with them for about a month because they're actually moving over here in the Rocky Mountain area, I'll say. And, you know, I was going to go up, help them pack, and just lay low, chill out, all that. Well, because I've lived with them at the address that they're at before, and because that address is in the hands of people wishing to do me harm, I've been telling some people just to sort of throw people off my track, you know, that, oh, I'm already there and all that. Well, last night at about 3 a.m., I got a very disturbing phone call this morning from my cousin, and she was saying that they have a guest that came to stay with them for a little while, and he's been sleeping in my old room there at their house. And last night they were all awoken at 3 a.m. because the dogs were going crazy. That's what actually woke them up. and there was a red, when their guest set up, you know, looking around like what's going on, there was a red laser dot from like a sniper rifle on his chest over his heart region. And so they basically all, you know, flipped out and all this. So my cousin's telling me to not fly up there right now for a month like I was planning on it, because she's scared to death that in so doing I will end up shot in her house. And the weird thing is, because I was saying, well, you know, okay, but I mean, could it be maybe it was some kid out running around in the middle of the night shining a laser pointer in people's windows? And she said that no, the blinds were closed and there's a black drape on a curtain rod in front of that. So whatever this red dot was, I mean, it actually penetrated through closed mini blinds and a drapery and, you know, found its way onto their guest's torso region that was asleep in the bedroom. And I mean, I don't even know really what to say about that. I mean, she's right in that clearly it's an enormously bad idea for me to go there right now. So I guess I'm just trying to stay put. I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss now as to what to do, because in the meantime, you and I have had some conversations off air about the stuff that's been going on, the revelations I've had about my publisher out there in Hollywood, New Falcon. Well, it's true, and anybody can Google this. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You know, I had to find out the hard way in being there, being around them, watching these people who, like serial killers, like to brag about what they do and what they're involved in and all this. New Falcon Publications owns a dummy corporation called the United States Ecclesiastical Society and Seminary, or USESS. The USESS Corporation wholly owns the Golden Dawn itself. And I was approached by them. They wanted to give me a bunch of honorary degrees and things in the Golden Dawn. I respectfully declined that, asserting what I've been saying all along since all this started, that, you know, I'm retired from this kind of stuff. I have no further interest in anything that's occult or whatever. You know, I've got my rosary here, and that's all I need, frankly, when it comes to the supernatural at this point. So, but yeah, it's been quite a battle, and it seemed like after I gave them that no answer, that's when the attitudes there in Los Angeles started to sour against me and all that. And so now I'm getting all embroiled in a big legal battle. I mean, I'm in touch with attorneys. I'm under three different contracts with New Falcon for books, and I want them broken. I want nothing to do anymore with this literal satanic overlord Hollywood producer and publisher guy that is the CEO of New Falcon. I don't know. It's like, I feel like I either was this some classic cliche story of going out to LA and inadvertently selling my soul to the devil in some contract or whatever. And I mean, it's like I went out of the frying pan into the fire. I thought I was getting away from these type of people, and all I did was run right straight to more of them. And hindsight's 20/20, that's all well and good, but I feel like a pawn and a chump, and the rabbit hole goes so deep on this stuff, it still amazes me to this day.
Do you believe that the Golden Dawn is trying to make a move to take over the 33rd degree of Freemasonry to try and, bring it under their fold by exposing them?
Actually, yes. They came to me and very candidly admitted that when they were trying to get me to sign a merger agreement with a company that back in February I happened to, because of the death of a friend and mentor, I wound up with signatory power on the board of directors of his company, and they came to me wanting me to sign a merger with that corporation into the U.S. ESS Corporation to merge the two, because the way it was explained to me by them, and these are their words, I'm not saying I endorse these beliefs or give a crap, but what was said to me was that the central ritual that's the biggest one, the most practiced, the most powerful one in the Golden Dawn is what they call the Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram. They believe that this ritual takes 120 years to complete. It was 120 years ago back in April, this past April exactly, when the ritual was completed, last begun by S. Lydell McGregor Mathers and Aleister Crowley and all these types. And what it has to do with, again, this is their words, is that they believe that it's now the dawning of the Age of Horus, and that the problem in the world with all of these warring factions and secret societies and so forth is that a consolidation is needed, meaning they want to move Masonry and the AA, Golden Dawn, Rosicrucian-type stuff, plus half a dozen other miscellaneous ones, and they want to combine it, and they want to come out with this new product. And what they wanted to call it, because right now there's the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn and the Thelemic Order of the Golden Dawn, and they wanted to come out with a new one and call it the Masonic Order of the Golden Dawn. They wanted me to write ritual for some of this stuff and everything, and again, I declined to do it, and it seemed to have made the occult community there in Hollywood very, very upset with me.
They had big plans, and yeah, if you won't play ball, it seems pretty obvious, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, and so now I'm in this position of being stuck under three contracts with this literal satanic publisher. I mean, I'm not kidding you, Vinny. Having met and spent time around the CEO of that place, it reminds me of that guy, the character in the movie The Ninth Gate, that Johnny Depp goes to work for, Boris Balkin, and all of his satanic books and everything. It's that same exact scenario. I mean, it's like art imitates life or something with all that. I don't know. It's pretty crazy, but I mean, and so anybody out there who is listening, I mean, yeah, I cannot say strongly enough, be very wary of New Falcon. There is a reason why they have the publishing rights to Aleister Crowley's books. It was all inherited through estates because these people actually have those direct ties to that family, and it's again this reoccurring theme of bloodlines and the whole nine yards. It's ridiculously crazy.
So. And it must be driving you freaking nuts at the same time, because like I see it in your face, man, and it's just there's so many things coming at you from so many different directions. And the thing is, they're not just coming one at a time, like one from the left, then one from the right, then one from the top, then one from the bottom. It's happening all at the same time. So it's like you're in a cage being prodded from all directions by these freaking demons.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I mean, yeah, it's every time I turn around, it's just more of this same occult garbage that I have come to loathe and detest so very much. And it's ridiculous. And as far as the situation here is concerned, it's gotten to a point where I'm having to be escorted around with body armor on and different cars, and coming out of the station from a back door and having to jump in the car and speed away because people are standing out watching. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I mean, it's not going to stop me doing what I'm doing, but at the same time, I'm not going to play games with New Falcon anymore now that I know what they're all about, and I feel like an idiot. You know, I mean, when I signed with this publisher and everything, I was still living in Dallas. So all I knew is what I had heard about it or could Google or whatever, and it took moving there to L.A. and experiencing all this and them and seeing what really goes on there to realize, oh, shoot, I've really gone and gotten mixed up with the wrong people now. And it doesn't make any sense. A publisher is in the business of selling books, not sitting on them. And that's what they're doing. They're sitting on them. They're not wanting to replenish stock at Amazon or at Barnes & Noble or whatever. The Kindle version of the book has now disappeared from Amazon.com, and it doesn't make any sense. They should be wanting to capitalize on the work I'm doing, and they get the majority cut. My publisher gets 93%. I get 7. So it doesn't. There's another agenda going on out there, because now there's, oh, but we're all worried about what the Masons think, and they're mad, and blah, blah, blah. Well, so?
I mean, look, it's like, bro, you're publishing a book that is bad-mouthing Freemasonry, and all of a sudden now you're afraid of what the Masons will think. Why did you publish it in the first place? What did you think was going to happen?
We'll
be right back. We'll be right back after the break. James Wright, ladies and gentlemen.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come.
Welcome
again.
Back.
And don't speak too.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. There's some really weird stuff that happens. Whenever you talk about Freemasonry or scumbaggery or the Illuminati or whatever, suspicious things start to happen. And as somebody who believes in conspiracy, that actual people come together to cause harm on other groups of people without them knowing about it, it does make you suspicious. And if your suspicions aren't founded and you keep suspecting anyway, it can drive you frickin' nuts. And that's why you need to have a little bit of a sense of humor about all of this thing. While you've got people trying to assassinate you, like James Wright. This is something that we had a conversation with yourself and a friend of yours. Was that nearly a week ago, I think, or a while back? And we were just kind of like up late at night, and I was making you two laugh and just having a good old time, because, you know, this is kind of what I like to do, you know. If the chips are down, I say you've got to really, really focus quite hard on seeing the lighter side of that genocide, because frickin' heck, man, what weighs upon you, especially, like, I don't know how many people are listening who've actually been living with their life under threat, all right? Not just perceived threat, like, oh, my parents are going to kill me if they find out that I took their tequila out of their liquor cabinet. I'm talking about actually going to freaking kill you. Actually assassinating, actual assassination attempts on your freaking life. And if you haven't experienced that, trust me, you don't want to. It is the most horrific experience that you can really go through, because, you know, self-preservation, ultimately, that's one of your strongest instincts. And when you're threatened, and here's the worst part about it, it's not just like, oh, that happened and now it's over. It's that happened and now it's going to happen again, but I don't know exactly when. So you spend your entire existence totally on edge. It can break people's mind, literally. And this is why I applaud James for his efforts and actually really not only just surviving in general, but also managing to keep, for the most part, his sanity amidst all of this, because of the enormous trauma and stress that it causes, being constantly under endless threat. You know? The rest of us are programmed by mainstream media to feel like we're surrounded by an aura of endless threat and fear and terrorism and so on and so forth. This is very different. This is much worse. James, I don't know what you've... I don't know what you're going to do, right? And ultimately, what we really need here is, for one, the Freemasons who are contacting you on Facebook or whatever, trying to say, you need to do this and you need to do that and order you around. Like, I'm mind-controlled and now I want to control your mind. And we wouldn't easily, just stop, okay? And thank you, Facebook, for that block function, by the way, you beauties. That's quite blessed. And... And the other element is you need people who are not tied in deeply with dark occulted mysticism to actually come out of the woodworks and frickin' help you. You know, you need places to stay that are safe. You need protection. You've got to walk around with a bulletproof vest on, quite literally, and some occasions. You know, jump into cars and speed away because there's a dude in the shadow where there is no actual shadow. He casts it himself. You know, look at all Masonic and stuff. You know, this is just out of freaking control. I mean, hey, you know what? You should write a fictionalized account. You know, you're writing your Freemason books, right? Okay, so what if you make a fictionalized, like, spy novel account of what actually happened to you because you wrote the Masonic books?
Yeah, and it can be a made-for-TV movie on Lifetime, yeah.
Yeah, or we could just get a whole bunch of truther filmmakers to make it or something like that, like the Masonic Revere film competition or something.
Yes, the scene where I come in the door screaming and I'm feverishly punching the code into the security system. And
Yeah, it will like ham it up and everything like that, you know. It'll be classic.
God. Yeah, it is pretty out of control, I would say. I know they're trying to, like, frighten me into... Well, no, actually, I think the time of that has come and gone. I think we're past scary parlor games at this point. I think they mean business. They've clearly meant business here recently with the things that they've pulled. And, of course, now, you know, I mean, it feels so crappy. I can't even put it into words. The fact I can't even go now to the cousin I love the most and... stay there, in you know, it's because there's red dots coming through the window at night for a house guest of theirs, thinking it's some, you know, because it's the room I used to be in at the address I used to live in, and all this, it's ridiculous. And I mean, I just I don't know what to do. I've been on the air here in Colorado on KFKA for 3 solid weeks. It's been really great and fun and all that, but I mean, I don't know what's next. I know that I can't go back to Los Angeles right now because everything's so out of control there. I'm not equipped to deal with that. So, I mean, I at least have a tiny bit of a support system here in Colorado, but, you know, then again, just 2 days ago, I was talking to 2 different friends of mine that live... in a different city here in Colorado, and they were basically freaking out because, I mean, we've been friends forever. I've been looking really forward to seeing them, and I was supposed to go and see them for like 4 days and go do some touristy type things and just try to relax and have some fun. And but they got together and talked about it and called me back and said to me, and I quote, "Having you down here would be akin to having Edward Snowden over to visit. We don't want to put ourselves in that line of fire." And, I mean, I can't say that I blame them, you know? I mean, I don't know. It's one of those sort of situations where either are you fearless or are you not? Because there's a lot of people that surround the truther community, and I know you know this, who like to say that I'm going to get involved, I'm going to get active, do this, do that. But at the end of the day... a lot of people actually don't, because they don't want what comes with this. And I mean, that's a personal choice. So
yeah, Yeah, my perspective on it is there's no lessons that you could ever learn that are worth learning if you don't suffer greatly and lose something as a result of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've practically lost everything in doing all this, so, I mean...
Everything except your life and your MacBook.
Yeah, basically. I mean, let's say there was a big speaking event here tomorrow or next week. Now I'm all wrapped up in this ridiculous struggle with New Falcon, and I've still got a... I mean, if there's a lawyer out there listening, I could use some legal advice because right now I'm having to call around and shop around with attorneys, and of course, all the while, every phone call taking a risk that one could be a Mason and just blow the whole cover on everything. So, I mean, it's a nightmare from hell. It really is. I don't know what to do. I don't have any answers right now as to what to do next, what's coming next. I don't know. So,
something tells me that precisely what needs to happen will just suddenly appear out of nowhere. This stuff always happens. Like that time that they tried to assassinate you I think maybe something was detonated underneath your car and somebody shot out of the window as well at the same time. Incidentally, somebody who was really, really close to the accident was a Marine and knew who you were and turned up just completely out of the blue and basically helped you to get everything sorted and protected you basically played your guardian. And I expect that's kind of what happens when you're doing something, for lack of a better word, in service to God, you know. That's what happens. You just get things that just turn up to you, you know, wings of angels, as it were. You just have to make the choice, you know. And I think that's what religious texts teach people, is that's the thing about angels and demons, is that demons try to corrupt your choice. They try to control you. And that's what Freemasonry does, whereas angels don't. They make sure that you have your free choice, and they only help you if you choose to let them.
Yes, it's like the old adage of inviting the vampire into your home. I mean, I can't. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's moments when I get frustrated with this that it would be very easy for me to fall back into my programming of the way my life once was and try to use those avenues, call upon contacts I have in secret societies, play with magic and a whole host of other supernatural things, but I refuse to do it. I've sworn all that stuff off, and I stay true to my word. So I'm armed with my rosary, blessed from St. Vincent's Cathedral, and you know, that's
was that my cathedral? Was it?
Yeah, yeah, a big statue of you out front. Yeah,
yeah, with the beard and everything, just like the Buddy Christ, you know.
Hey. Yeah. It's a statue of you kicking a Mason. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like in the head, like,
oh, you knocked off my Masonic ring.
Hey, and I was just wondering as well, if you had to escape, what country could you go to where they wouldn't find you?
I guess the planet Mars? I don't know.
Because I know that Freemasonry is very very up with the play in the Western countries, you know, like New Zealand, heavy Freemason presence, same as Australia, America, and England, and I presume Europe as well, and that would also probably tie in Canada. So if, like, South America or Asia, maybe?
South America is a very bad idea. No, the Masons there take that very, very seriously. Those degrees and everything else are like lifetime achievement awards down there. They're very serious with that. I've met a bunch over the years, and no, enormously bad idea. Even third world countries in sub-Saharan Africa, you will still find a Masonic lodge or whatever. So... it's just the whole... there's nowhere to run, really, other than to keep dodging around and going and doing different engagements in different cities and this whole thing that I've been doing. But other than that, I just, like I said, I'm out of answers. I don't know what to do next. It's really starting to just, I don't know. I'm to a point where I can't even think straight at times.
How much sleep are you getting? Not much, I presume.
No, I've been having a ton of nightmares. I get maybe 2 hours of sleep at a time, sit straight up in bed like, you know, I mean, really raunchy stuff. And I've never really suffered from any kind of nightmares or anything in my life, so that's a new experience. So,
well, the sleep deprivation is not good, man. I mean, like, just for your health alone, you become far more prone to illness. Your bodily functions start to shut down over time through prolonged sleep deprivation. And indeed, it can even cause insanity if you haven't had enough sleep. You know, it's just like, man, that guy sounds freaking crazy. It's like, bro, he's only had like 4 hours sleep in the last 2 weeks. What did you expect? You know, and I presume that this is what happens to crack addicts as well. You know, haven't had any sleep for like a month or whatever, and they're going around wide-eyed and totally crazy and that kind of thing. You know, it's not just the crack, bro. It's the sleep deprivation as well. That kind of stuff is murder for the brain. Incidentally, you know what the best part about being a crack addict is?
What?
It's only six more sleeps till Christmas.
What?
That's a bit of a low blow joke. Sorry about that.
Yeah, maybe at this point I should just like take up a massive heroin addiction or something. I don't know. Oh my God.
Yeah.
About other countries, I mean, even if there was one that I had, you know, oh, okay, I need to go here. I couldn't at the moment because my passport is expired. I mean, I haven't even had the money to fix that. Everything has been so strange, so thin. It's like, yeah, God has provided and everything, but it's only been that little bit, you know, to get me through whatever the situation was or the moment, whatever. So, I mean,
maybe that's a mentality that you should adopt. And in fact, I was doing that just yesterday, for example. We ran out of soap, and I was like, you know what? I really wish Angela Foreman from the Gourmet Soap Kitchen would send me some more soap. Guess what arrived this morning? 9 bars of soap from the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Australia. And yesterday I was thinking, you know what? I really need an extra 100 bucks or so just in order to cover the rent this week. Guess what was in my PayPal this morning? 100 bucks. And so I've stopped worrying about things, and I know that they'll arrive when they need to. We'll be right back after the break with James Wright. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It might be my final segment with James Wright here. Hopefully we'll be having Ben Swan on next segment. If not, James might be able to join us for another hour if you're able, James. Before we get back to it, I just wanted to. I mentioned the Gourmet Soap Kitchen, and if you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, you can click on the Gourmet Soap Kitchen banner. It'll take you to their website. Check this out for those of you who watch on the webcam and everything like that. This is a soap cake. It's like got little flowers on it, pink frosting, and you actually wash yourself with that stuff. That's really, really cool stuff, man. And it's like, It smells good enough to eat. It is. And I've got like a whole bunch of this stuff here that Angela sent me. Like, what was this? This is a sandalwood handmade soap bar. All right, it's freaking ridiculous. It's got these beautiful indentations on it, and it's palm oil free, cold processed soap. Like, if you go to the website www.gourmetsoapkitchen.com, you can get yourself some of this, because this woman Angela has decided that her objective is to make the world's best soap. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been washing myself my whole life, and I have never come across anything so freaking awesome as this. I mean, look at this. Chocolate fudge handmade soap, right? It's really quite fantastic, the amount of the range of products. But my favorite one that I've tried is this one, the cinnamon and oat bar. It's like, my mate Dan came over. He's a big listener and a supporter of the show. And I'd only just used this bar of soap for the first time. And I was like, Dan, bro, seriously, go into the bathroom and wash your face with this soap. And he's like, what? No, I was like, seriously, bro, go and do it. See what happens. He goes and he washes his face with a soap. And I don't know what it is about the cinnamon in this, but it's like so refreshing. It actually revitalizes you. If you're like feeling grumpy or feel like crap or something like that, all of a sudden you feel like, woo, like uplifted, like you've just ingested some form of a drug. That's how good Angela's freaking soap bars are. I kid you not. So go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. For the love of Norwegian cheese, you can even get yourself a lime and poppy seed bar if you want. And click on that banner for the Gourmet Soap Kitchen. It's a little further down on the thing. Or go to www.gourmetsoapkitchen.com. I just thought I needed to really get a plug in there for Angela because, yeah, been feeling kind of dirty without soap. And my very special guest is James Wright, who deals with filthy Freemasonry and its filthy rituals too. Maybe we should send you some Masonic soap, like done in a black and white checker soap bar.
Yeah, like the can of off, except instead of for insects, it's for masons. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it. Well, what exactly would poison a mason, you know? I guess it would be the same thing that poisons anybody, isn't it? You know? Just pesticide or whatever. Some Monsanto Roundup Ready soybeans or something like that. Here, mason, have some Roundup Ready.
No, just probably holy water and crucifixes, garlic.
You mean like just have like a pump bottle, you know, or some kind of a squirter bottle, or maybe even just like a little squirt gun, you know, like a little hangman with holy water in it, like in From Dusk Till Dawn. You know, Mason comes up to you and you go, get away from me, and he goes, ah!
Or like when a cat is misbehaving, yeah.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do with cats who are being naughty, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, Masons, you're a whole bunch of naughty cats, aren't you? No, I mean, but in either case, actually, what I wanted to do here, just briefly, is I wanted to explain the difference between the 33rd degree of Freemasonry and the rest of Freemasonry. They're pretty much separate, aren't they?
Well, yeah, it's a honorary only degree that in most cases you buy it. But in some, you know, if you're dedicated your whole life and you are a really good step and fetch boy, then they'll give it to you.
And because a lot of Masons come out or Masonic supporters and say that because we're exposing the 33rd degree, we're saying all Masons are evil, all Masons are scum, and so on and so forth. They basically throw the baby out with the bathwater. Do you actually agree with that, or are you actually specifically trying to expose one particular section of Freemasonry that has grown so evil and so powerful that it needs to be exposed now more than ever?
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that whole all or nothing, because the fact is I can't deny that there are a lot of good guys in the Brotherhood. Problem is they're on the lower level. They don't understand, or they do and they turn the other cheek and don't question authority or whatever to the guys who are up. Because, okay, you just did that show about psychopaths, and it was such a good show. I really related to that because that's exactly what happens with the order. You get the psychopaths who gravitate toward positions of power. So naturally they go, ooh, Freemasonry, ding, ding, ding. Sounds like a good idea to me. And they get in there and they cut throats and backstab and do everything that it takes that's seedy to get to those lofty, exalted positions. So if you're dealing with a higher up in a grand law.
Oh, hold on, James, we've lost you there. James, we can't hear. Okay, we seem to have lost James. He's having a little bit of a trouble with his connection there. And James, just speak up as soon as you hear me.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Your webcam's off, but that's fine. Just go ahead. So as soon as you get into a one of those hierarchical structures, sorry, go ahead.
Anybody and everybody that you're dealing with in those hierarchies, they're absolutely sick and twisted and evil. In every case, I don't care what you think that their public image is when they cut ribbons and shake hands and hand giant novelty checks to orphanages and all that kind of stuff. That's a facade. It is a smoke and mirrors act because there's just no one good, kind of like all those positions in politics. Nobody good really truly ever makes it to being in charge or whatever, because they don't think the way that a psychopath thinks. And that is the nature of the beast. That is the problem. That is why Freemasonry cannot really be allowed to have its members in any of the... If you're in law enforcement, or if you're a judge, or if you're a public servant of any kind, it's not compatible with Freemasonry. And of course, Freemasonry promotes this image that it is, but the truth is, it isn't. It's a conflict of interest. It's making these people loyal to another entity, which is not what that public office or whatever is. So that's the problem.
Essentially, what you're talking about here is you can't have two conflicting oaths. You either swear an oath to uphold the law, or you swear an oath to serve the Brotherhood of Freemasonry. You can't do both. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Because you may think you can, you the individual, the Mason, whatever, but there's going to come a time when you're asked to bend the rules and overlook things, sort of like in the cases where you have a pedophile and then the guy is basically brushed off into obscurity, doesn't really experience problems with the law because he's got a Freemasonic brother who's a judge who was trying the case, or the sheriff was a Freemason and threw out some evidence or whatever. And this goes on all the time. Every country, everywhere. It's just Freemasonry. I'm so sick of this argument that it provides on the History Channel or the Discovery Channel that, oh, but we were so wonderful and we helped with the American Revolution and we did this, we did that. Well, yeah, you know what? All that's true. But the question is, and I know you've had this discussion with Freighter X as well, that it's what the Scottish Rite has come in the last 120 years and flipped the script and perverted everything into. Now it is corrupt. It is exactly what the nuts with the cardboard signs say about it. It is. There's just no, and there's not yet been a Mason who has come out speaking on behalf of the Brotherhood, who's been willing to provide an intelligent debate as to why this place should be defended, why we should not demonize it, etc.
You know what? It's funny. When you demonize demons. Don't you find that funny? And then they come out and try to attack you. And this is quite what happens. And bear in mind, of course, if you are a Freemason or you know somebody who's a Freemason, The likelihood is they're probably, as James said, just a good decent person who has no freaking clue what's actually really going on at the higher levels. It's not their fault that they got deceived. I mean, after all, people get inducted into the police all the time, believing that the police are supposed to be honest people with integrity who catch criminals, and then they find out later on that actually they're all completely dishonest and they are the freaking criminals. We'll be right back after the break. Occupy Freemasonry is the Facebook page, facebook.com/. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And, you know, I don't know why people do, some people dislike this show. And what's interesting, James, is some people recently have told me, like when I go out to protests and stuff like that, I do these sort of angry megaphone rants, and they get like 65 likes and zero dislikes. But there's always a comment there in the section saying, oh, Vinny, you're not going to get through to people if you're angry. Really? Really? The statistics completely disagree with you, actually. And they're like, learn some psychology. Really? Really? Have you ever heard of trauma-based mind control? That's some psychology for you. If you traumatize people with angry yelling and ranting, it shakes them out of their peaceful, restful slumber and lets them know that there's some actual, real Shiite Muslim going down. And, I mean, look, the human race is being controlled. The human race is being exterminated. The human race is being completely undermined. And you expect people to be calm because that's the only way they're going to come across? Are you freaking retarded? Are you out of touch with reality? Yeah. I mean, quit making excuses, all right? Sure, it might make you uncomfortable, but that's good. You don't learn anything unless you get out of your comfort zone. So I don't like about people, man. They think that being comfortable for their entire existence is something that's actually beneficial to them. No. It's like sitting on your ass for your entire existence and never getting any exercise is beneficial for your existence. Your muscles atrophy. You become weak. Get some emotional backing, ladies and gentlemen. Get angry. Do something. Anything. Not because you have to, but because you freaking well should. Okay? It's the right thing to do. And eventually, you'll learn to control these emotions and you'll be able to put them out. Because, you know, most of the shows, I'm particularly calm and, you know, very reasoned and that kind of thing. And occasionally, I'll get angry. But sure, who doesn't? You know? Sorry for having real emotions. Maybe I should just, you know, wear a Masonic tie and have it choke the life out of me like a leash. And my very special guest is still James Wright. And I wanted to ask you, at what point did Freemasonry go from the supporters and funders of the American Revolution to cast off the evils of the crown? How did it go from that, bearing in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that most of the founding fathers were Masons, how did it go from that to a satanic occult organization? How did that happen?
Well,
where did it happen?
Well, it was mainly the roughly 1820 to 1880, there was an explosion of corruption in the order. Then from 1880 to 1900, there was equal explosion of this occult stuff in the order because, okay, you'll have Masons who will defend the place and say, oh, well, but when you talk about people like Aleister Crowley or the Golden Dawn or the OTO and these things, well, that's not Freemasonry. So you're talking about, you're comparing apples to oranges. Well, no, that's misinformation because the fact of the matter is you can select any single occult order, secret society, any of them. You pick one, put all their names in a hat and draw one out. And what you're going to find is it was begun by Freemasons who were creating a sort of a new sect, if you will. That's the way that the Golden Dawn came to be. MacGregor Mathers, Aleister Crowley were all 33rd degree Masons who were basically bored with the goings-ons that they found, I guess, to be not quite occult enough or a little bit stale. And so they expounded on that and took it in directions of high magic and the Kabbalah and so on and so forth. Now, before Crowley, over at the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis, that was actually founded in Germany by a guy named Theodor Royce. Royce was a descendant of the Bavarian Illuminati. So here again, you have this merry-go-round of Freemasonry was always in existence, but then you had the Bavarian Illuminati, which kind of stemmed from that. But then the Bavarian Illuminati was outlawed in Germany, so it transmutes and it becomes the OTO. Then the OTO, working in conjunction with Freemasons, gives birth to the Golden Dawn. Then the Golden Dawn takes over, and as far as high magic and all that is concerned, and starts putting its initiates in key places around the world. For example, that generation, Mathers, Crowley, Bailey, Blavatsky, all of them, their proteges and aspirants were the next generation of names like Jack Parsons, Israel Rigardi, L. Ron Hubbard, who founded Scientology. All that stuff goes back to Masons and the Golden Dawn working hand in hand. So, I mean, my analogy that I make is once you get to be a 32nd degree Mason, it's basically the equivalent of stepping through a doorway into a hallway full of doors where these other things come about. And this is why Freemasonry is so favored by these other occult orders and the intelligence communities as well, because they prefer to do their recruiting from there. So CIA people, MI6 people, a lot of them come from that pool. They're picked, they're headhunted from there. This is another reason why Freemasonry's got to go. And there's a vested interest in it not going away because of this power structure. That power structure collapses, the House of Cards comes down, then this corruption and everything goes away. So as far as when was that transition made, roughly 1820 to 1880. And that's when suddenly the Scottish Rite comes out of nowhere and seems to be the new boss of everything Freemasonic. I mean, it's really uncanny. But this
When and where was the Scottish Rite established, and who established it?
It was first established in Charleston, South Carolina, by Albert Pike and those types. Pike took a loose set of Masonic degrees that didn't really come from here or there. They were just sort of being traded around on the American frontier for money. You know, a guy comes into a town and decides, you know, okay, I need some money to eat and drink and find lodging and everything else. So he would sell, oh, you know, I got this from a guy who got this from a guy that it came from Europe somewhere. So Pike takes all these degrees and reorganizes them into the 4 through 32 and then the 33rd as well system that is now known as the Scottish Rite. And that's why they worship him as practically a demigod, because they call him the father of the Scottish Rite for having done all that. And that's when, because at the same time, Freemasonry was also trying to reinvent itself and recover from the Morgan Affair and the killing of Joseph Smith and the fallout with the Mormon Church and all that. They'd really, really almost been run out of business in the mid-1800s, at least in America. And so the Scottish Rite was sort of a Band-Aid, a fix-all, or whatever to all of the controversy that was going on at the time.
You know, that sounds like in the 70s, communism had a really bad name in New Zealand and around the world. So the people in the Communist Party changed their name to the Progressives. And suddenly people thought that, oh, well, communism's bad, but we can vote for the progressives. That's completely populated by communists. Is that the same kind of thing?
Yeah, basically. Or you could also equate it to politicians and lobbyists, the Freemasons being, well, both. I mean, if you make the rules of the game and then you play the game, it's going to come out in your favor all the time. That's the nature of the corruption in it.
Now, you mentioned the Morgan Affair and Joseph something. I'm not familiar with those cases overly.
The Morgan Affair was William Morgan. He was a Mason out of Batavia, New York, and Joseph Smith was the founder of the Mormon Church, who they call their prophet. That's really neither here nor there. You know, I think Mormons tend to be shiny, happy people, but their religion is a little bit wacky for my taste. In any case, William Morgan and Joseph Smith were the two most famous open, brazen Masonic assassinations of history that created such an outcry that it almost saw their complete undoing in society. And so they basically had to pull back and hide out in private homes and things like that for the remainder of the 1800s until the Scottish Rite reemerges in America, and then the Golden Dawn kind of emerged over in Europe and then spilled over into America. And they've always sort of run parallel. I mean, and I always knew about the Golden Dawn, but then moving to Los Angeles, I got a real big, heavy, too close for comfort dose of it. And its members definitely think of themselves as both Masons and Golden Dawn initiates.
That's the otherwise commonly known as Golden Dawn. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
What's going on here? And you kind of skirted over this, and I actually wanted to know do you know the actual details of the Morgan Affair, like what he did, how they assassinated him, what his life was like up in those final weeks, months, years, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, he was going to write a book about Freemasonry, William Morgan. They found out about this before it could even be completed and published and all that. They kidnapped, they had him jailed for bogus charges. And then when he was coming out of the jail, a horse-drawn carriage pulled up in the year 1826. And they kidnapped him off the streets of New York and took him to Fort Niagara, where he was murdered. And the entire population found out about this. I mean, the killers bragged about it. And it created such an outcry that it actually resulted in the formation of the Anti-Masonic Party, which later became the Whig Party in America. You had people like John Quincy Adams and Millard Fillmore and all these former glorious presidents and people came out very publicly and condemned the entire order, as did most of America and the world at the time. And then, of course, the Joseph Smith thing was the same type scenario, except that Joseph Smith was a Mormon, was a Mason before he was a Mormon. So it is postulated that the Mormon temple rituals are basically one and the same of the Masonic Blue Lodge rituals. And the Masons sort of felt that he plagiarized that material and gave it to the unwashed masses or whatever, And so that sort of sealed his death sentence. They had him thrown in jail, same MO, except they walked into the jail and just shot him at point blank range and said, you know, good night. And those two events together really almost did end Freemasonry. And
it spent the last almost 200 years recovering from it.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's how much damage a couple of insiders can do. You know what the problem is, though, James? They had to be killed before the public stood up and took notice.
Yeah, that's, I guess, the way it is with a lot of things. It's very unfortunate, but, I mean, it's a matter of people just, they've got to arrive at a conclusion in their own minds that, okay, that's enough. I don't want to live in a world like this, and so we take action. I mean, I've been out taking action, but, I mean, I'm one person. I can only be at so many places and speak. I mean, I do this all the time. I speak, and I speak, and I go to protests, and I march just like you do, and all this kind of stuff, but so many people are still just either asleep to it or they are awake, but they just, at the end of the day, like I said earlier, they don't want to get involved. And let me go grab something real quick. We'll have a little show and tell real quick.
And for those of you who are watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see this. Those of you listening on the radio, I'll have to describe what James is showing us as he does it. And, you know, it occurs to me that there's really quite a lot of material to get through, and you can't just listen to one show or two shows or even 10 shows and suddenly know everything there is to know. I mean, like, this is the result of what would take somebody maybe 10, 15 years of pretty intense research in order to really come to a lot of the conclusions that James is simply giving us straight off the bat. And that's the opposite of the mentality of Freemasonry, where they don't tell you the big secret until you have paid your dues. So anybody listening to this who's questioning it or whatever, you haven't paid your dues yet. You ain't got the background behind you. You're simply jumping to a conclusion that we're laying out for you based upon all of that diligent work. So, James, without further ado, you've got a little bit of show and tell for us.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, for anybody that thinks that, because like you and I have talked about many times, you know, we talk about this stuff, and then there's always those trolls that come out afterward, and,
always.
Yeah. Okay, so to anybody who may have a doubt lingering in their mind as to what my knowledge and my exposure and all this type of stuff is, here is a little book. It was not a little book. It's quite thick. Weighs about 40 pounds. It's called The Complete Golden Dawn System of Magic. This is a $400 book. Right here on the inside.
We've got about 20 seconds, James.
It says, to Brother J, 93, Lon Milo Duquette. Lon Milo Duquette is the deputy grandmaster of the OTO. I've known him for a long time. It's.
Oh, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break with James Wright.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now.
Yes, he's here now. What you gonna do? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest, a good friend, is James Wright. Now, you had that big old book there, bro. Who was that? Who was that dude that signed onto it? It was in 1993 that gave it to you. James, are you there? He appears to be frozen there. AFR, can you please hang up on and reconnect James there? We've got a little bit of a problem with these connection issues. He's doing wireless connections at the moment. It seems to be kind of intermittent. I'm sure it's not part of a conspiracy. I say that kind of sarcastically. So you can turn your webcam back on there, James. all right. Sorry about this, folks. Right, now, you had a... Yep, I've got you. And now you had a book there. I'm not sure if you could hear what I was saying before. There we go. The complete collection of the magic of the Golden Door, the system of magic. The complete Golden Dawn system of magic. What is it about magic that entices these people so much?
Well, I think it has to do with the aspiration to control the world and your environment around you. That's what those forces represent. I mean, I'm not trying to like knock on Lon Duquette here or anything. He's a wonderful, sweet guy. I mean, I trust him and all that. The only point I'm trying to illustrate here is I bloody know what I'm talking about. I mean, the reason why I have this book, number 192 of 300, for Brother J, 93, Lon Milo Duquette, is because I have been in this environment for so many years, bumping elbows with all of these elite, occult masterminds that, I mean, if I say, oh, the Freemasons are at a higher level working in tandem with the Golden Dawn, I know what I'm talking about. So I'm just not interested in people attacking me and saying, oh, well, you can't prove that, or you can't. No, yeah, I can. And the only reason I have that book is because it was given to me in Los Angeles because the Golden Dawn, not Lon or any of those people, were trying to convince me to accept some degrees. They wanted to give me my Adeptus Minor degree in the Golden Dawn and all, and I declined. I don't see that as being necessary for my life right now. I think that being involved in these things wrecked my life to begin with. And coming out publicly and blowing the whistle on all of them has certainly not made anything better, but at least I'm on the side of what's right and the truth and the right side of history. So,
you know, this reminds me of an experience that I had. I exposed this guy who was a bit of a psychopath down in New Zealand here, and he was tied in really close with the Black Power gang. And, you know, just kind of like living under threat for a couple of months, you know, worried each knock on the door might be a member of this gang coming to get us. And my friend who was in this kind of situation with me, he was offered protection by another gang, but we had to pay them. And without even questioning anything, he suddenly paid this other gang and told me that I had to pay too because he'd already given them the money. And they didn't give us any protection. In fact, if anything, they started to get really angry with us and started to become a threat to us too. Like the way to protect yourself from a criminal gang is not to go into the arms of another criminal gang. And just like if the people who are trying to attack you and take you out are a occult order, the last thing you want to do is rush into the arms of another occult order. Is that about right?
Yes, I liken it to, as far as what happened in L.A., it reminded me so much of that scene in episode 3 of freaking Star Wars where Palpatine finally reveals himself to Anakin and Anakin's, you know, kind of taken aback like, whoa, and, you know, I can feel your anger and all that. I mean, yeah, that's basically what dealing with the CEO of New Falcon Publications was like. I can't even really put it into proper words other than to say that I was mortified by all this, and I'm thinking, oh great, you know, now I've gone and signed 3 different contracts with these people, what now? And so you know, I declined their honorary degrees of the Golden Dawn. I declined signing that merger agreement with one company that I have the ability to and the company that owns the Golden Dawn and all this, and they were very, very peeved by my actions, even though it was done calmly, pleasantly, with respect, no thank you, but that's not what they wanted to hear. And that's when that environment in LA started to turn against me. And you know, we've talked about this some off air, but it's just, it's been a nightmare from hell.
Quite literally, as in like the movie From Hell, where, and indeed, there was a compound that New Falcon had given you, that a very secure compound, and inextricably, people were starting to come in out of the freaking woodwork to put like things on your on your windshields and so on and so forth. Threats, or there were people coming through the security gates, through the doors, and indeed, like there's no way, there's no freaking way they could have come in to the secure compound unless the person who had even given you that that place to stay in were the one letting them in, giving them their own clicker, giving them the codes.
Yes, I mean, it's that's speculation at this point, but I do get the very strong feeling that New Falcon had a lot of duplicity in the things, the threats, et cetera, that was going on in L.A. I mean, I'm sorry, you can't tell me, you know, okay, we're the Masons, we're looking around Los Angeles for this guy. Well, you're looking around, like, what, 8 million people, 10 million cars? It's that would be impossible. So I think they probably did have a tip-off. And to make matters worse, the fact does remain that if something was to have happened to me there, then New Falcon not only stands to become very wealthy from it, but then the Golden Dawn gets what they want too, because they finally get that core issue to demonize Freemasonry with and pull in their business. Because you got to remember, at the end of the day for these people, these groups, these occult orders, secret societies are businesses that sit on a shelf and they sell very, very well. They make millions and millions of dollars. So it's just it's a very shady, shadowy business interest that is that's why the Scientologists, if you're anybody and you go near that Scientology Celebrity Center there in Hollywood or anything, they have cameras that take your picture and scan your license plate and in the office there in the building evaluate whether or not you are any kind of a threat to Scientology, like if you were a reporter or if you, you know, whatever the case. And then they either send their guards over and tell you to leave, or they just leave you alone and let you go on your way. But, I mean, this is why these groups are so protective of their stuff. And then you get their little troll agents who want to sit there and point fingers and, oh, you're insane. Oh, you're a charlatan. Oh, you're that's not true. Well, yeah, it is all true. And the only reason those people even believe so much to defend the place is because they've been convinced in their own mind control that they are somehow, when this is all said and done, going to gain from it. They're going to have a lofty seat or a wonderful title or some sort of power in this world that stems from the networking of these orders. And, I mean, I've got news for them. They can think again. It's not going to happen. The Sith kill their apprentices, their master, whatever. It doesn't work. It never works out. Show me one Mason that's ever had good intentions that's come up out of this environment on the up and up and having gained something. There isn't one case in history. So this argument, as far as I'm concerned, is null and void.
Yeah, you don't really have anything to gain. It's like there's been many, many films made when a character makes a deal with the devil, and the devil promises them many, many, many wonderful, extravagant things, and they don't actually get any of them. All they get is scumbaggery.
Wah, wah, wah.
I mean, come on. These are children's fables that adults have forgotten.
Well, yeah, they allow themselves to become seduced by that dark side. They invite the vampire in, and then it's in. And what can you do? I, at a once upon a time in my life, you know, was no different. I worked in, I had an office at 500 Harwood Street in Dallas at the Scottish Rite Building. I was deeply into all this stuff, and it took such a incredible series of abuses and shocking things that I had to go through for that programming to shatter and break, and for me to take a look around myself and go, oh my God, What am I a part of? What the hell have I gone and let myself become? And so I separated from the environment. I came out publicly, and the rest is history.
Well, as was most of the things in your life, that's all history. And you have a look at what happens to whistleblowers. It doesn't matter what they're blowing the whistle on. And I found it very interesting that your cousins compared you to Edward Snowden, is that, you know, or everything in your entire life just goes away, you know? Your family, your security, your vehicle, your safety, your peace of mind, your ability to sleep, your reputation, everything just whoosh, as if somebody's cut it off with a guillotine. And what I find very interesting, and I want to really address the people who do troll the websites after this. What do you have a conscience? Do you have any empathy at all? Because you have a look at James. He's clearly very, very genuine, going through a lot of suffering right now. And you come out and you attack him and you call him names. What kind of a decent human being does something like that? And the answer is, no kind of decent human being does something like that. Nobody kicks people when they're down if they claim to be good people, you know? I mean, what are you playing at here? And I can't fathom that kind of response, namely because I care about people, particularly when they're in their time of need, as James is right now at this particular moment and has been. For how long has it been since you came out against Freemasonry, James? How long have you been having to deal with the Shiite Muslim?
I initially came out against them in right after New Year's, January of 2012. However, I had left and separated from that environment in August of 2011. And I mean, this stuff started right up the day after, the literal day after. I mean, I went out to...
Oh, no, we seem to have lost James. AFR, can you please reconnect him real quick? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, American Freedom Radio has been doing a lot of work in recent times, trying to just keep things going. So, James, if you want to turn your webcam back on, we can see you now.
Okay.
Okay, so it's basically been almost 2 years. I'm sorry. So the day after you left the Masonic Order, what happened?
My phone was blowing up, and they were calling me. I mean, I would back down the driveway, and they would call immediately. Where are you going? What are you doing? What are you feeling? Who are you talking to? And all this kind of stuff. And I let it alone and avoided them and did not return their calls and all that. And then I, you know, I was went and put myself into some therapy, talking to a psychologist about everything that had happened because, you know, I wasn't able to sleep and it was all really freaking me out. And that's when I made the decision to take steps to protect myself and sound the alarm, come out publicly, do all that. The book was basically, it was no ordeal to write it or anything because it was mainly taken from a series of like my own diary entries and whatnot. So it was just a matter of organizing it. And here comes New Falcon and I'm thinking, oh, you know, okay, great, wonderful. It's someone out there really cares. Well, that's exactly what they wanted me to think. You know, I'm like, oh, well, wow. I didn't even have to call a literary agent. I've got a publisher immediately banging down my door wanting to sign me under their label. How wonderful is this? And I mean, I thought that for the better part of a year. It wasn't until moving to Los Angeles and being right around the core of these people with that side of things that I figured out, okay, evidently I've been some sort of pawn, and they're just, I think their agenda the whole entire time was to try and promote a flop and discourage me and get me to fade off into obscurity. I don't think they ever counted on this exploding and gaining the momentum and the public outcry and everything else that it has, and they seem to be very upset about that. Why do I have emails from New Falcon telling me to quit going on the air and quit speaking publicly about all this? Don't they want to sell their damn books?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, we'll be right back after the break at thefunnyhistoryshow.com.
Back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I've got to give big props to our producer, Adam. This show has been plagued with technical difficulties, and he's just Johnny on the spot, just boom, 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 like a radio ninja. Big props, brother. Okay, now, James Wright is my very special guest. Final segment here. Got about 12 minutes or something. So what have we covered so far today? We've covered your living situation and how there really are real threats on your life. We've covered some of the Masonic history and how Freemasonry indeed got corrupted and taken over by the Scottish Rite. We have covered some of the assassinations by Freemasonry and some of the dark past of that particular scenario. We have covered how a lot of Masons are indeed just an ordinary, good, decent people who are simply misinformed, that they think that they know everything because they're on the very, very low levels where they don't actually tell you anything. And we've mentioned the trolls, which are very much like these kind of people who come out and attack James, saying he doesn't know what he's talking about or he doesn't have the evidence and so on and so forth. Well, he clearly does, and he's even literally written the books on it. What else is there to really cover at the end of the day? Because I know that you're feeling tired, James, and thank you for giving some of your time up to be on this broadcast with me today. But really, there's probably thousands upon thousands of different other topics that we could touch on. Would you like to shift from the Freemason topic altogether and talk about something completely different?
I feel it's necessary to note that when we're talking about Freemasonry, we're talking about the larger umbrella octopus entity that is over all of these other things. So when people want to sit and talk about things like Bohemian Grove or Skull and Bones or the Bilderbergers or whatever, well, I mean, that's all real and valid, but it's... we're forgetting that higher organizational mechanism that makes all this possible. So all this disinformation that's out there about, you know, focus here, focus there, people need to realize that a lot of that is coming from Masons trying to steer them off the path, off the scent, and protect themselves. I mean, it is a self-preserving organism, Freemasonry, so that's to be expected of it and its adepts, members, whatever. So, I mean, we can talk about anything. I've been doing radio here at KFKA 1310 in Colorado for a month now, and I feel like we've only barely scratched the surface of 3-hour shows. So, I mean, there's always more stuff. It always goes deeper down the rabbit hole. This is how this is. They've set the system up in a manner to where, you know, it's groups within groups, and infiltration is the name of the game. And you might be in this town here and not be dealing with Masonic sheriffs or media or whatever, but then you go to the next town and you probably are. And so it can get very confusing. It can be very daunting. I understand that. So it's just going to require a lot more of a committal on behalf of the public to it as an issue. And, I mean, that's what I hope to accomplish with this. We've got to bring them down and stop this.
Well, and you've indeed launched a petition to outlaw secret societies, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, but remember it was for having done that. Now, you can go on whitehouse.gov and fill out things, and you can talk on the mainstream media here in America about the government flying planes into buildings. You can talk about all the evils of Bohemian Grove, you can talk about politician corruption and corporate soft kills and poisons and Monsanto and all this stuff. But the minute you start to say the F word being Freemasonry, you are censored. You have four different constitutional rights violated, and there's no explanation given. So, yes, I had gone on whitehouse.gov and filled out that petition, but within a matter of hours, it was mysteriously removed, and now my ability to go on to www.whitehouse.gov has been removed as well. I've been blocked. So clearly, it's an issue that DC, the White House sitting right across the street from the Supreme Council building, does not want to come up. So people need to write the mainstream media. They need to tell various personalities in the public eye that they want to hear about this, that they want the issue tackled, and not with the Masonic apologists that the Supreme Council dispatches, like to the History and Discovery channels, to sit there and tell you that, oh, all the founding fathers are Freemasons. It's so wonderful. We donate to charity. Nothing to see here. Move along. Please disperse. That's just not it. That's a sack of lies and manipulations. So, no. I mean,
you recall towards the start of the interview how I was talking about how you can make a spy novel thriller about just the things that have happened to you since releasing your books and everything like that. And you mentioned calling it the F word, Freemasonry. And I was thinking that would actually be a great name for the script, the F word, meaning Freemasonry. And yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, I've been living in Hollywood this year. I'm not there now at the moment, but I did come to an understanding that there are various persons in Hollywood, like you hear about Keanu Reeves and Woody Harrelson and Charlie Sheen and all these types, but I've had someone else in the entertainment industry, it's actually someone you and I both know, tell me that at the end of the day, those people are never going to challenge Freemasonry because they know that's basically sacrificing their future in Hollywood.
That is the case, and if anything, it would have to be a very independent film indeed. And of course, those independent filmmakers would wound up dead in a ditch, cut into 8 pieces, and ruled a suicide by the coroner, who happens to be a Freemason.
So ridiculous. It's far as I'm concerned, it's just more disinformation, this notion that, like, the Jews control Hollywood or whatever.
Oh, yes.
I went plenty of places and saw plenty of powerful situations and environments, and I never once saw one that was Jewish. They are all neck deep in the occult.
Yeah. And for those of you who watched on the videos behind me, there have been picture after picture of Masonic floors and symbolism, all lifted from Hollywood movies. Okay, and I've got a whole folder called 33, which is just every single bit of Masonic symbolism that I see when I'm watching any given film. Okay, I just take a screenshot and make sure that it's in there. I'd love to make the documentary 33. That'd be great, just to show people just the intense saturation of Masonic symbolism in Hollywood. It is unavoidable. Virtually any massive film that you could ever conceive of is just loaded with the stuff. It's not a freaking coincidence. The Jews don't control Hollywood. The Arabs don't control Hollywood. It's the occultists. They love it. I mean, you know, watch even, say, the Green Lantern, when they're taking this little scientist dude into this big underground secret scary-looking bunker to do an alien autopsy, and the woman says to him, this is our first alien contact that we've ever had, despite what the conspiracy theorists will tell you. And then the dude does his autopsy, and then he passes the information to her on a hard drive, and on the hard drive is stamped with the all-seeing eye of the Illuminati. Okay? They're throwing it in your frickin' face, ladies and gentlemen. Are you naive? You'd have to be to think that there's no such thing as a Masonic conspiracy. It's everywhere you freaking look. It's like saying that there's nothing wrong with the banking system. Everybody is in debt up to their freaking eyeballs. 80% of Americans are classified as being in poverty right now, virtually. All right? It's not a freaking accident. This all ties into the Illuminati. This all ties into the New World Order. This all ties in to one global system. One global system with one globalized religion, with one global power structure, with one global banking system, one global food regulatory commission, one global health organization, so on and so forth. One world army, which NATO will evolve into. They are taking over the freaking world right in front of your eyes. And you come out and say that James Wright is crazy because he's exposing the structure right at the very center of it that ties all of these things together. James, I just want to say thank you so much for doing what you do. There are few times in history where a man will come out and risk his life, his liberty, his property, and his sacred honor to do right by everybody else, forsaking themselves. Your sacrifice is well noted, at the very least by me and by many others, I'm sure.
That's very touching, Vinny. Thank you. I mean, that's really the only way to look at it, I guess. And yeah, that's a good note to end on too. As far, I mean, if people want to know the name of that controlling force in Hollywood, let's forget calling it what the music videos and everything else do, the Illuminati, and call it by its real, very open public name, the Order of the Silver Star, or Argentum Astrum. Those letters, AA, that ain't Alcoholics Anonymous. It's Order of the Silver Star.
All right. Thank you, James, for your contributions today. If you want to contact James, help him. He needs lawyers. He needs protectors. He needs funding. He needs exposure. He needs many, many things. If you are listening to this and you are capable of giving him any of these things that he needs, facebook.com/OccupyFreemasonry. James, thank you very much. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And we'll see you again sometime, provided we don't get assassinated by Freemasons in a black coach.